Good morning. It is indeed a joy to be here with you today. I'm grateful to God for the opportunity. I do so wish that it could be under different circumstances, that a brother that I have come to love, as I know you all do, and appreciate his service as under-shepherd of this church, this flock, a brother who has spoken much encouragement and comfort into my life, as well as his wife, precious Miss Donna. I have been praying for them and will continue to do so, praying for you all in his absence. I do hope that he has the opportunity to hear some of what I intend to say this morning. Lord willing, he will be able to hear from the Lord's word this morning. The passage that I want to direct your attention to today comes from the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10. So I simply want us to consider one verse this morning. There's a great deal that we could mine from it, but I'm simply going to consider one aspect of Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10. For some of you, it may be a very familiar passage of Scripture. It holds great and precious value for myself as well as my wife. We are coming up on 11 years of marriage this May, at the end of this month. And we had been married 1 month when I found out that I had a massive aneurysm in my ascending aorta of my heart, which led to emergency open heart surgery. And so as I have been keeping up to date with Brother Joey, he right now at this moment, the last word I heard, he is laying in the very building that I found myself laying in some 11 years ago. And so I don't think that it is pure coincidence or accident. I believe in the sovereign providence of our God. I believe that the Lord is ordaining and orchestrating all things for our good and ultimately His glory. I believe in the all things of Romans chapter 8. I believe that even in sickness, even in death, the Lord is a God of providence, and as such, I hold to that doctrine tenaciously. And to God's sovereign will as well. So, it is my prayer today that you would hear this passage, perhaps you're very familiar with, but that you would hear it, the Spirit of God would superintend our time together today, and the Spirit of God would minister to your soul as we consider God's promises to us in the midst of suffering. So let me just read this one verse and then offer a word of prayer, and we will consider the text this morning. The prophet Isaiah says under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Father, so we hear these words uttered by your servant several thousand years ago now. But Lord, just as timely, just as relevant for us today. Father, we thank you that your word is living, that it is active, that it is sharper than any double-edged sword, that it pierces to the very division of our soul and our marrow. Father, indeed, we draw strength from your word because it is your word. It is God-breathed. It is inspired by you. And so, Lord, I pray that today you would use me in spite of my sin, in spite of my deficiencies. I pray, Lord, that you would minister to your people this morning. And Lord, we thank you. We thank you that your word never returns void, that it always accomplishes that which you have intended it to accomplish. And so I pray, God, that in the few moments that we have together as we sit under your word, I pray, God, that you would
Use me as your vessel. I pray, Lord, you would use me as your mouthpiece to rightly divide your word, which is truth. I pray, God, that you would find me today faithful to your text. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to unpack the meaning of this passage, and I pray that we would rightly apply it to our lives so that we might leave here today more deeply in love with your Son, Jesus, more transformed into his glorious image, filled by the power of your Holy Spirit. And I pray all of this in the good name, the strong name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The year was 1933, and Franklin Delano Roosevelt gave his inaugural address as President of the United States of America that March. The United States, just to give you a bit of context, the United States found herself having come from the depth of the Great Depression and just less than a decade from entering into World War II. I read an article entitled Declaring War on the Great Depression. And in that article, the author wrote these words. By late winter of 1933, the nation had already endured more than 3 years of economic depression. Statistics revealing the depth of the Great Depression were staggering. More than 11,000 of 24,000 banks had failed, destroying the savings of depositors. Millions of people were out of work and seeking jobs. Additional millions were working at jobs that barely provided subsistence. Currency values dropped as the deflationary spiral continued to tighten and farm markets continued to erode. And it was in this context that Franklin Delano Roosevelt would stand up and make probably his most memorable speech. And in fact, within this speech, there is a quote that many people today, if they know anything about Franklin Delano Roosevelt, they know this particular line. He said, "So first of all, let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. Nameless, unreasoning, unjustified terror which paralyzes needed efforts to convert retreat into advance." As you well know, over the last year, being in the midst of a pandemic, many have found themselves in the throes of fear. Perhaps it's not been fear of contracting the virus itself. Perhaps it's been fear of financial loss, fear of losing a job, fear of losing a loved one, fear of a marital relationship unraveling at its hinges. But nevertheless, fear in invading lives. We are told in 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7, Paul, he exhorts his young protege Timothy in the faith with these words, "For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." And so what I intend to do today from our passage before us in Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10 is to argue that we can have peace in the midst of a pandemic, in the midst of just general panic, because of God's promises. And in particular, I want us to focus on the first line of verse 10, where the prophet Isaiah says, "Fear not, for I am with you, thus saith the Lord." So how is it that we today, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, can take such great and bold confidence in such a declaration? Amen. The reality is we can take a bold confidence today in the face of whatever may come our way, whatever suffering we endure, whatever trials may come our way, hardships we encounter, because God is a God who is a faithful, loyal, covenant-keeping God. The reality is that as we read Scripture, we are faced with commandments. We are faced with things that God has said, do this or don't do this. And in today's passage, we are given the command, do not be afraid, or fear not, maybe your translation says. But we have a God who has not left us in the dark. He hasn't just told us, do not be afraid, and then simply given us no context from which why we must not fear, why we must not be afraid. No, He gives us reasons. And the reason He gives us in this text is, I am with you. I am with you. He gives us the promise of His presence. Indeed, the very narrative of Scripture begins from Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1 with the assumption that God is, that He exists, and that He is present. In the beginning, God. That is how the very Bible begins and opens, that God is, He exists. And so, a central truth today that we need to rejoice in and praise the Lord for is that the trustworthiness of God's promises is based upon God's character. And God, He is a God who is infinitely good. He is a good Father. The psalmist, Psalm chapter 103, verse 13 says, as a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear Him. We can trust, as the Lord's chosen people, we can trust God to keep His promises to us because His character, because His nature is one of omnibenevolence. It is one of righteousness, holiness, justice, love, and mercy. And Paul, he even reassured the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20 of this very commitment that God has towards His people. He said, for all the promises of God find their yes in Him, their amen in Christ. And that is why it is through Him, our union with Christ, that we utter our amen to God for His glory. And so the promises that we're going to begin unpacking here today in Isaiah chapter 41 verse 10 are as true for you and as true of you right now as they were some thousands of years ago to the people of Israel. Praise God for that.
Yes, amen.
And so I have one point to make this morning from this one line. Christian, do not fear because God is present with you. And as I said earlier, I believe in the sovereign providence of God. I believe that God is actively involved in the world right now by governing over, by cooperating with, and providing for His creation. There is not one maverick molecule that exists in all of creation, R.C. Sproul, theologian now with the Lord, said. No, the Lord knows everything that happens. The Lord knows the end from the beginning, and He is sovereignly reigning and ruling over it all. As one theologian by the name of Wayne Grudem argues, God is directing His creation to fulfill His purposes. God did not choose to create the universe and then withdraw Himself from it. No, from the very beginning, God has been ordaining and orchestrating all things for His glory and has decided to grant His creation privileged access to Himself. And oh, what an access this is. You see, God is a God of immanence. Theologians use that term, immanence. And the most tangible way that this has been manifested to us, the body of Christ, is by the reality that God the Son became the Son of Man so that sons of men might become sons of God. This is the glorious reality that we celebrate December 25th, but it is a reality worth celebrating every day. The doctrine of the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. The reality that God has come very near to us. Isaiah again says elsewhere in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, that therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call His name Emmanuel. Emmanuel, which means God with us. Further biblical data we see in the gospel according to John, John chapter 1 and verse 14, and the Word, that is Jesus, became flesh and dwelt, that word literally meaning tabernacled among us, and we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. What a remarkable and gracious act of the Lord. Jesus Christ, He came to this earth full of sin and sinful people, broken, and He died for sinners. What a glorious, glorious reality. The writer of Hebrews describes Jesus as the radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of His nature, and He upholds the universe by the word of His power. So much so that we are able to talk about Jesus today as God the Son incarnate. Jesus, the one who can sympathize with you in the midst of your suffering. He can sympathize you, the writer of Hebrews chapter 4 verse 15 tells us, He can sympathize with you and with me in every way with the exception of sin. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Jesus, He is not only our great sympathizer, but He is also our great intercessor, our great high priest. Shortly before Jesus was betrayed and arrested during His earthly life and ministry, He interceded for us. You'll find this in John chapter 17, His great high priestly prayers we often label it. He was concerned that His church might be present with Him beyond this life. And so He prayed to the Father that we might join Him after He had been crucified and resurrected from the dead. This is what He said, John chapter 17 verse 24. Father, I desire that they also whom You have given Me may be with Me where I am, to see My glory that You have given Me because You loved Me before the foundation of the world. And just before this prayer, Jesus, He tried to encourage His disciples in the face of His imminent crucifixion. If you've been to many funerals, you've probably heard this passage spoken. John chapter 14 verses 1 to 3. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in Me, Jesus said. In My Father's house are many rooms, and if it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to Myself, that where I am, you may be also. Amen. And so, yes, we have confidence in a final and future and full presence with the Lord. But you might ask, well, what about right now, today, in the midst of my suffering, in the midst of my recovering from surgery, in the midst of my upcoming appointment at the dentist, as our pastor lays in a hospital bed 2 hours away fighting viral pneumonia, what about the presence of the Lord now? Can we have confidence that God is still Emmanuel? And my brothers and sisters, yes. Yes, absolutely indeed. Because prior to the descent of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, Jesus reassured His disciples, I will not leave you as orphans. Praise God. I will come to you, He said. Yet a little while, and the world will see Me no more, but you will see Me. Because I live, you also will live. And in that day, you will know that I am in My Father, and you in Me, and I in you. And so here we see the wonderful reality of God not only living among us, but God is also dwelling within us in the person of the Holy Spirit. And as a Christian, there will never be another moment in all eternity when God is not present with you. That's astounding to think about. That you are never alone, that you are never abandoned. Even as Jesus was about to depart from His ragtag group of apostles his ascension back to the Father, he said, "Lo, I will be with you always. I will be with you always. I will be with you always to the end of the age." What a comforting thought as we have been commissioned to go and to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that He has commanded us. So as we prepare to conclude this morning, I ask you, do you sense the Lord's presence in your life today? Or perhaps does the Lord seem distant to you? There was an individual by the name of Saint John of the Cross who described periods in his life and in his walk with the Lord as dark nights of the soul. Times in his life that were not necessarily times of rebellion against the Lord, not necessarily times of habitual sinning, but times where he felt spiritually dry, spiritually arid. It seemed like the Lord was really distant, really far away. Have you ever felt that? Do you feel that today? Do you sense that in your life today? Do you feel, as I have heard some people say, that God has forgotten us? I want to reassure you with these words that even if God feels and seems distant to you, He is not. Even our feelings themselves are fickle, as we are totally depraved individuals. And so I take heart from the psalmist in Psalm chapter 90, verse 1. Lord, You have been our dwelling place in all generations. Amen. And so maybe it is today that fear has perhaps so paralyzed you that you feel the Lord's presence is but a dim shadow in your life. Christian pilgrim, today, take heart. The psalmist would go on to declare Psalm 91:1 that he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Maybe right now in your life, the Lord's presence seems like a flickering candle that it's on its way to being extinguished. The Lord feels very far and distant from you. I want to encourage you today to take heart that the shadow of the Almighty's presence will one day give way to the actual and literal, unhindered and unfettered access to the glorious presence of the Almighty, risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God is faithful. God is present. God is working. God is able. He is capable. Therefore, my dear friends, brothers and sisters, fear not. Fear not, for the Lord is with us. Father, we thank You for the promises of Your Word. We thank You that, Lord, we can leave this place today not having to trust in a false righteousness that we think that we possess. For Lord, the only righteousness that is a saving righteousness is the righteousness found in the Lord Jesus Christ, a righteousness outside of ourselves. We, with the Apostle Paul, declare that we have been justified by faith alone apart from works. So Father, we are not boasting in and of ourselves today. Our confidence, even in the midst of panic, in the midst of suffering, in the midst of sickness and strife, our confidence, it is not in and of ourselves. It is not in and of this nation. It is not in and of our jobs or any other human relationship. Ultimately, our confidence is in You, Lord. And so Father, I cry out to You today. Would you help us? Would you help us to combat the fears that may come and desire to invade our hearts? Would you help us to combat those fears with faith in Christ? Trust in the trustworthiness of the promises that we find in your word. Thank you, Lord, that you are a good God. Thank you that you have provided a way for sinners to be reconciled to a holy God. And I pray that it would be that glorious message. Yes, a message of exclusivity. No other name given among men by which we must be saved, save the name of Jesus Christ. I pray that it would be that message that would be found upon our lips as we leave this place today. And Lord willing, as we go about whatever it is you are calling us to do this week until you bring us back together next week. We love you, Lord. We're grateful for the opportunity to gather as the church. We know that nations, even this one, they are experiments, but the church, she will prevail. Even the gates of hell itself will try and overtake her, but will not win, will not succeed. We thank you, Father, that the church will go on for eternity. We thank you for our security in Christ. We praise you today for this opportunity again. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.